Okay, this hour, as we continue talking with our guest, Mark Anthony, we'll take your phone calls as well here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, our guest, Mark Anthony. Mark, what do you think the other side is? Is it energy? Is it consciousness? What is it?
I think energy and consciousness are intertwined, so I think it's both. Emailed me the other day, and I get a lot of emails like this. Is heaven a place where they have like tables and chairs and restaurants? And you hear a lot of mediums say that, oh, as above, so below. I think what spirits do, let's say that you're doing a session, and I did a reading one time where this mother and father came through for the person, and the father showed like horseback riding in what looked like Montana, and the mother showed a vineyard in Napa. And the client said, well, gee, my father's favorite thing to do is to go horseback riding, and my mother's favorite place in the world was Napa Valley. Now, I don't believe the spirits were actually horseback riding and hanging out at a vineyard. What they're doing is they're projecting to you and I something we can relate to. Because, George, you and I cannot understand what it's like to live in a purely energetic state because we're currently existing in a material world state. So I think that heaven is kind of beyond our limited comprehension. I like what Einstein said about the afterlife and about God. He said it's like a four-year-old child walking into a library full of books, and the child knows that somebody wrote the books and that there's something in them, but doesn't know who wrote them or how they got there or how to decipher them. So understanding that something exists doesn't necessarily mean understanding everything. And he came down to saying that, it seems to me, is the attitude of the human mind, even in the greatest and most cultured toward God. We see a marvelously arranged universe obeying certain laws, but laws we only understand dimly.
I like that.
Yeah, he was so far ahead of his time in so many ways. And, you know, there's a big debate whether or not he believed in God. He didn't believe in a God that sat there and doled out punishments and smited people and all that. He looked at God more as what you were referring to as a consciousness and as an energy. And that appears to be what it is. And when we were talking earlier about biophotons and the light which is within us, you know, one of the most, well, everything Jesus said was profound as far as I'm concerned, but when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God is within, well, you have light within us. We perceive God as the light of understanding, the light of truth. When people are enlightened, that's because they're gaining a deeper and more profound understanding of something greater than themselves. And I believe in the concept of enlightened. And enlightened is understanding the internal light, the connection of God, which is within us all. And you know, George, we see a lot of people around the world committing horrific acts.
Oh,
not
my God.
Into politics.
Out of control.
It's out of control. And so many people are doing this in the name of God and all of that. The fact of the matter is, God does not create anger, bigotry, hatred, judgment, or violence. That's the ego. That's where you edge God out. And the fact of the matter is, the light of God, the understanding, the love, the energy is a pure and unpollutable thing. However, the choice we have is whether or not we're going to block our perception of the light. So while the light of God is within us and without us, it is our choice whether or not to block it. Because the people that do all these types of things are doing it out of ego, out of their own personal anger and judgmental and hatred-driven agendas, as opposed to love, not only for yourself, but more importantly for those around you.
Let's take some calls here for you, Mark. As they line up, we'll go to Jackie in Minneapolis to get things started. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I have been totally blind for 11 years. I have terminal cancer, and I just changed. oncologist. Was that a good move?
Well, I'm not really a fortune teller, Jackie, but let me ask you this. Do you feel good with this new doctor?
Very good.
Then very good. That is where you need to trust your feelings. And I'm not trying to pass the buck and or sound Yoda-esque, okay? But we all have abilities within us, and if you feel better, more comfortable with this doctor, and that resonates with you and brings you inner peace and a sense of satisfaction, then you've done the right thing. Because, you know, nothing's worse than when you have all types of medical problems and you go into an environment where people are poking and prodding you and treating you like an experiment as opposed to a living, breathing, sensitive human being. And when you can get a competent and caring physician that is not only really good at what they're doing, but to make you feel that you're in the hands of a healer, then you're doing the right thing, Jackie.
Mark, this advice that you give people, it's more like the psychic lawyer is back again.
Well, you know, being an attorney, I had to rely upon my intuition, and a lot of people that came to me, what I found, George, and this is something that I write about in both of my books, and something that that I'll be talking about at the Sedona Spirit Symposium in June, is that grief leads to crime, which leads to grief. And what I found in my practice as an attorney and as a psychic medium is that a lot of people that engage in criminal behaviors and that are drug addicts, alcoholics, predatorial behaviors, in their early years, there was a death. There was an unresolved loss, and they didn't deal with it through grief counseling or supportive family, and they're left to their own devices, which all too often turn to drugs and alcohol and anger and rage. And so that grief can then lead someone down the path to engaging in behaviors like getting behind the wheel of a car when, you know, you've had too much to drink and then you kill somebody else. So your grief leads to crime, which then leads to grief, and it's a terrible cycle. And so what I saw in my practice is not only to represent people in court, but also to get them into the proper counseling. I see this a lot with, I have a lot of military personnel come to me for readings, guys that are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder from, you know, being in combat and losing, their comrades, you know, guys that they loved as brothers. And it's very important for them to come to terms with these feelings. So anytime that my abilities of both a medium and an attorney can intersect to help people, then, I pray to God that I'm doing my job right.
Well, and you are. Now, what happens in 10 years from now? How will science try to get better answers for us about what this is on the other side?
Excellent question. That's excellent. Well, our science is never stagnant. You know, I see a lot of the skeptics go, there is no proof for this. It's like, yeah, but what were the stars before the invention of the telescope? People have these bizarre ideas that they were holes in the fabric of heaven and they were this and that and the other thing. And then the telescope's invented and we're seeing, oh, wow. Or what was disease before the invention of the microscope? I mean, when the train was invented, there were actually scientists who thought that the train would move so quickly, it would suck all the oxygen out, create a vacuum, and kill everybody on board. And oh my God, you know, that was scientific fact, and then they found out that it wasn't. So our science is always evolving. We're getting more and more sophisticated technology. We're able to notice electrons disappearing and then reappearing, possibly going to another dimension. There's just been the discovery of gravitational waves. I think the 21st century, provided we don't blow ourselves into the other side with that technology, is going to be one of great discovery. We're going to see discoveries both without and within on the vibrational level and with genetic therapies or the regeneration of cells, once again using energy, and also the quantum physicist being able to better understand what happens to the quantum field in our brain when it leaves the physical body at physical death.
Next up, we've got Dr. Sleepless in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Doc.
Hello, George. Hello, Mark. Anthony, you're asking all the right questions. It's so fantastic. But I wanted to see, I believe that we've confirmed that consciousness does not originate in the brain. But therefore, my question is, what would be the conductor of consciousness? Could it possibly be the water? Since water reacts to everything and has sacred geometry in it, and stores information and has memory.
Dr. Sleepless, I cannot thank you enough for that question. The medical and the scientific community have been split over what is consciousness, as have the spiritual community. And I'm going to stick with medical and scientific right now. There's three schools of thought. Number one, consciousness is the result of evolution over millions of years. The brain and nervous system underwent complex and sophisticated physical changes resulting in self-awareness. And that's nice, okay? Then number two, consciousness is not a physical action and is not controlled by physical laws. As such, it has always existed. Woohoo! Now, this is the interesting one because it means consciousness exists without a material host. In other words, a body. So that means that the soul, if you will, pre-exists the body. And then the third possibility is that consciousness is the result of physical events which have always existed but are not yet understood, which could be the so-called quantum field. So your question about water is definitely a key to this because water is a huge conductor of electrical activity, and water is also composed of quanta, which are energetically charged particles. So I think we're all on the same page here. It's just we don't quite know yet, but because we don't quite know yet doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I mean, look at what George brought up earlier is the discovery of gravitational waves. I mean, Einstein said that they existed in 1916, and it wasn't until 2015, 2016 that we proved it. So just because we can't prove it right now doesn't mean it isn't a reality.
Why are some people more tuned in than others?
Tuned in what, in the psychic sense?
Yes.
I think it's like, why are some people more athletic than others? Why are some more musical than others and mathematical? It may have to do with the pineal gland. Maybe some people's pineal glands are a little bit more developed, or maybe, you know, people like, you know, that are psychics and mediums have an extra calcite or magnetite crystal in their brain. I remember reading an article on neurobiology that people that are highly spiritual, their brains seem to be wired a little bit differently. But we also know that highly intelligent people's brains are wired differently. Because the axons in the brain, which are the wiring in the brain, you know, there may be more electrical activity or more, you know, more quantum vibrations going on in some brains than others. So I think it all comes down to we're all good at different things, and that again ties into what you were asking, George, about intelligent design. If God, if the creative force wanted us to all be the same, then we'd be like a school of fish.
Yeah.
We'd all react to light and heat and predators and stimuli the same way, but we're not. We're all very different.
Let's go to Gary in Santa Maria, California. Gary, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, George.
Sure thing.
I'm going to give this my best shot here. I lost my dog of 16 years on the 18th. I was going to call in on open line, so he started taking a turn for the worse around Christmas, but I wasn't premature in taking care of him. But that night, the whole show seemed to be geared to dogs. It started off with Barry McGuire that quoted his mother and said, the poor dog doesn't wag his own tail. And he passed right after, well, Cornelius called in and asked that you play Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World.
Yeah.
And then Tommy took over the phones that night.
That was his birthday present.
Yeah, and one has a birthday and the other one passes. I took a bath with my bird dog. He was an English pointer. His best friend was a blue jay that he found as a fledgling. We had the blue jay for almost 12 years before he expired. So in every way, he was a true bird dog. But you played, it was only 15 or 20 seconds, literally, after he took his last breath, that Tommy, right before he came on, put on the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Brother Iz. Now, there was very few ways of consoling me that night, but between passing between the first song, What a Wonderful World, and then Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Where Bluebirds Fly by Brother Iz, I really got, and having a warm bath with him as he slowly passed, was just about the biggest send-off there was. Then I had a slightly visitation dream where I saw his speckled nose come through two long drapes, and later that morning I had made, for St. Patrick's Day, a corned beef steak that ended up to be corned beef jerky that I had shared with him the night before. And because I wouldn't dare give it to anybody else. It was full of flavor.
How old was he? How long did you have him, Gary?
He was almost 17 years old.
Wow, that's a long, long time. And, you know, in terms of the music that we select, it's for the mood. And it touched you in that certain way. And I'm thankful that we were a little part of that, to be sure. Things work in magical ways, Mark Anthony.
Yes, they do. And you know, for the caller, any being capable of the emotional love is capable of spirit communication. And I'm a firm believer, because I've done probably 10,000 plus readings in my life, animals come through a lot of the time. So don't despair, because when it is your appointed time to transition to the other side. And I'm no way encouraging anyone to speed that along.
Let's take as much time as we can before
we do. We're all going to get there. What's the rush? You know, we will see these beings again. Yeah, we're all going to transition. And, you know, I'll tell you, I write about that in Evidence of Eternity, is communication with animals on the other side. Which is a very, very important thing, because animals, I mean, what's the life without our four-legged friends? You know, it's just like, you know, one of my best buddies growing up was my dog. You know, so it's very comforting to know.
Man's best friend, as they say, Mark. We're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, our final segment with the psychic lawyer, Mark Anthony, and your calls. Mark, in your work as a studying mediums and mediumship, what is that ability of a medium to tap into the other side? What are they doing?
What we're doing is we're raising our vibrational frequency to where we tune into an ultra-higher frequency. And as quantum physics is teaching us, everything in the universe has vibrations, and it vibrates at higher levels. For example, AM radio vibrates at one level, FM radio vibrates at another, XM radio, so on and so forth. And so what we're doing is we're aligning our brainwave frequency with a higher frequency, and we're tapping into the quantum field of discarnate intelligence. In other words, we're communicating with souls. And what I've seen, George, is that the other side's a collective consciousness, and that when we separate from our body, our quantum field, our soul, is like a drop of water which then plunges into this vast infinite ocean, yet we retain our individuality. And that's God's gift to all of us, is our individuality, and we can disconnect from that. That's why I call it the collective consciousness disconnect. And these are some of the things, George, that I'm going to be discussing at the Sedona Spirit Symposium, which is in June, and on the Mystical Mayan Cruise. I've started an adventure tour to spiritual locations throughout the world, and I've got the Mystical Mayan Cruise from Florida aboard the Royal Princess, one of the finest, most beautiful new ships in the Princess Fleet. And for folks to find out more about that, just go to my website, evidenceofeternity.com, and also on the Coast to Coast site, if you go to the information about me on Coast to Coast, because I'm going to be talking quite a bit about the science of spirit communication at both the Sedona Spirit Symposium and on the Mayan Mystical Mayan Tour.
All right, let's go to Jimmy, first-time caller in the state of Maine. Hi, Jimmy. Go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, Jim.
I started listening to your show last week. I'm a pretty big fan, actually. It's an intriguing show.
Thank you.
I was prompted to call because I was listening to Mark talk about his description, his belief on God, how he's not like a gray bearded guy sitting in the sky, and he's just like energy, which is kind of how I describe it to people when I explain my opinion of God and how we're connected. My question for you, Mark, is what do you think, or how do you think deja vu pertains to the energy segment that you're talking about? Like, when someone has deja vu, is that part of the same energy spectrum that you're referring to? Like, how? What do you think of that? And I can take my answer off there.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. Jimmy, fantastic question. When I was talking about a medium tuning into an ultra-high frequency of the other side, because we're communicating with spirits, a psychic ability, okay, psychic ability is when you tune into the energy of a person, place, or thing, and you can discern past, present, and future events. Very, very similar, because according to the quantum theorists, time has no time, so that everything that has happened, is happening, and will happen is energetically going on simultaneously. And you, as you correctly are identifying, a deja vu experience is tapping into that. I mean, how many times, you know, have we had a dream of something, and then the next day or a week later or whenever, you say, wait, I had a dream about that. Or you got the feeling that you had done this before, or you received some type of premonition. And the theory is that that's exactly what's going on, is that you're tapping into this quantum field, if you will, that is giving you glimpses of what we deem to be future events.
These other realities that are out there, do you think it is also in other dimensions?
You know, I would like to think so. You know, we've all...
Because that's a strange one.
Yeah, that is a strange one. I always got a kick out of... okay, I guess I'll admit on World Radio that I like Star Trek. But they would have those episodes where they'd cross over to the alternate dimension and they're all very different and all that. And who's to say? Who's to say? But from the perspective that I work with, there is definitely, or there are definitely, several dimensions. And if you look at the electromagnetic spectrum, you've got FM, AM, XM, gamma rays, ultraviolet rays. I mean, what we can perceive with a naked eye is like a piece of dental floss, okay? And you lay that piece of dental floss on a yardstick, and the yardstick is the electromagnetic spectrum, and we can only see one tiny strand of it. And now with the discovery of dark matter and dark energy, At best, we can only perceive, even with our current technology, 5% of the universe. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of multiverses, a lot of dimensions out there.
Let's go to Joe in the Bronx on our wild card line. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
Hi.
I wanted to ask Mark Anthony, you mentioned earlier that we're all interconnected, we also connect to God. Each of us has trillions of cells in our body. Could we also each represent a cell in God's body?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that, yes. That's what, when we were talking earlier about biophotons, which are the particles of light and how our cells communicate with each other by flashing light to each other. If God is perceived as light and light is within us and our body emits light, then that same energy, we're all interconnected. Now, where people or where humanity screws things up is when we start blocking that light. And not listening to the higher messages, which is, you know, basically love and peace and understanding.
When you wrote Evidence of Eternity, and we talked about it a year ago, it still has some legs. How's it doing now?
Well, I've understand it's been submitted for a Pulitzer Prize.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's funny, when I got
wow.
the notification, I had to call Columbia University to make sure. You know, I was like, all right, which of my friends?
Somebody's not pulling a gag on
you. Right? And they said no, so it's up for a Pulitzer Prize, been submitted for a Pulitzer.
Congratulations, Mark.
Thank you. That's
a great honor.
Still, I appreciate that, George. And it's still holding bestseller status in three different categories, definitely in Kindle and in print on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And so it's done very, very well. And it's now in Polish. It's going to be in Slovak, French, Lithuanian, and I got a list of a couple other languages. And my publisher is negotiating with some Spanish publishers as well. So it appears that Evidence of Eternity, the journey of that book, has just begun.
Did you ever expect it to be that wildly successful?
Every author, you know, when you put your heart and soul into your work, you want it to be. But I'm also a realist, and I put forth my best effort, and thank God every day for the work that I'm doing and how well Evidence of Eternity is doing.
Mike in Ohio, welcome to the show, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George. Good morning, Mark.
Hey.
I still get a little nervous, so hopefully I can get this big question in. Mark, I was wondering if you know of any research or would you suggest any that would have a correlation between, say, you know, you talk about the pineal gland and that being, you know, the God light or your chakra. Now, what about people that have had, say, a negative near-death experience? Or say a person that has had, like you, has had a positive near-death experience, like how does that correlate as far as, say, like if a person's physically, or their pineal gland was, say, damaged as a child, maybe they had a negative near-death experience, or say your pineal gland is larger because of your genealogy and your DNA, and you had a positive near-death experience. And then also, how would that correlate, say, with like returning Iraqi war veterans that, say they suck energy from their pineal gland to kind of counteract the emotional or physical damage that they had. And then maybe with Dr. Wallach, if he would suggest nutrients that would flood the brain to get those electrons back working again and try to balance out, you know, your chakras or your God, you know, your light center. A lot of information, but thank you very much, Mark, and thank you, George.
Thank you.
Mike, we could do a whole show. George and I could do a whole show on your question. I think it's great. There's a lot of studies going on all over the world right now with the pineal gland and, you know, damage to the brain. We have to realize that the brain hosts consciousness. It doesn't create consciousness. And Dr. Stuart Hameroff and Dr. Penrose from Oxford, are explaining brain functioning as occurring in the microtubules in our brain. Long story short, each cell has a structure to it, and there's this structure called a microtubule because it looks like a tube, and quantum vibrations occur there. And the think of your brain and think of your cells as an orchestra, and all of a sudden these quantum vibrations go off, they're orchestrated, and then they stop at given times, just like music. Impulses of sound and vibration start and then stop at strategic times, and they call that orchestrated to objective reduction. And it is those processes which appear to create decisions and moods and feelings, in other words, consciousness. And this is a quantum field which is going on within the brain and can exist whether or not that carbon-12 resonator in floating in salt water, in other words, your brain, has functioned or is damaged one way or the other. So we are much more than what our body is, and the brain is merely the hard drive, but the information stored on the hard drive will go on after the hard drive no longer functions.
Mark, do you get incensed with mediums who are faking it?
Well, you know, there's people that criticize me and criticize, you know, this one and that one. There are charlatans out there, and I think that before, you know, people go to a medium, you know, check their reputation, see if you know anyone that's been to them. And any psychic or medium that starts telling you that you have to come on a regular basis, or that your aura is haunted and there's a curse on you and things like that, then those are the people who are not acting from a genuine state.
Right.
And, you know, in my opinion, to be avoided.
And what about the medium who does it for free? That to me increases one's credibility.
Well, yes, and you know, we all do. You know, I certainly do a lot of readings for free and for charity, but never for anyone that asks for one or demands it of me or insults me. because you know, everybody wants something for nothing. And, you know, Edgar Casey did everything for free, but then again, he died penniless, and his wife and he, that was a bone of contention that they had throughout their marriage. It's like, you know, why aren't you charging? You know, but the fact of the matter is, as much as we'd all like to join hands, sing kumbaya, and let everything be free as we slide down a rainbow on our unicorn, you know, gasoline costs money, but that's a gift from God, because the oil that creates it comes from the earth. Plants are a gift from God, but, you know, farmers don't work for free. You know, what my auto mechanic does is a gift from God, but he doesn't work for free. And the fact of the matter is, you know, we have to be practical about things. And also, you know, we get what we pay for. You know, if you go into a Mercedes dealership and whine and complain that that Mercedes should cost the same as a Yugo,
not going to happen.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Chris, British Columbia, Canada. Go ahead, Chris. Let's squeeze you in here.
Hello. I just, I'm a first-time caller, but I couldn't get onto that line.
Oh, that's
anyways,
okay.
I wanted to talk about how the universe is not separate from us, because just how you are talking to me, I am a fragment of the universe, just like how you are a fragment of the universe. So what a lot of people think that they're separated from, you know, God, which God is the entirety of all of existence, we are just a mere reflection of life reflecting itself within the universe. And if there wasn't any life in the universe, there wouldn't really be a purpose for rocks and stars flying around the universe and all that.
Well said. Let's get your reaction. 30 seconds left. Go ahead.
I couldn't have said it better myself, because when we look at the universe on a quantum level, we're all composed of energetic particles, all the way from the biophotons in our cells to the great infinite consciousness and light that is God.
Indeed. Mark, thank you. Keep in touch with us, and good luck. And on your website, have all your events are listed?
Yes, on evidenceofeternity.com. I got the New York City tour, Columbia University and Edgar Cayce Center next week, the Sedona Spirit Symposium in June, and the Psychic Explorer Mystical Mayan Cruise, which is going to be fantastic, coming up in October. And that's all can be found on evidenceofeternity.com.
Super. Have some fun. Thank you, Mark. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.